This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
On today's show, Boba Fett is not a bounty hunter, question mark. We talk about the new Ghostbusters Afterlife clip, and we are reviewing Dune. Hello there, everybody, and welcome back. This is episode 103. I'm Josh.
I'm Adam.
Adam, how have you been doing? How was your weekend? How's everything going?
Weekend was good. Did trick-or-treating on Saturday around here. My township was on Saturday for some reason, which I don't understand, but that's the way it was. So, did that, and, That's about it. How was your weekend? How was your Halloween?
It was good. Ours was on, we went in Neshanic Township with, Sydney's cousin. And so it was on Saturday as well. And then we went to like a Halloween family party thing on Sunday to watch the Steeler game and stuff, which turned out with a win somehow.
That team has no business being a winning team.
No, they're struggling. And then Saturday, we were talking about this a little bit. I actually am a cross country coach for anybody out there who doesn't know. And three of my runners made it to states. They qualified for the state competition coming up this weekend. And that's the first time as a coach that I've experienced that. So I'm very excited about that.
That is awesome. Congrats to you and your runners. That's a pretty big achievement.
Thank you. I think it's actually, I was told that it was the first time in school history that three runners made it in the same year from Jamestown.
Incredible. That's awesome.
We're going to Hershey, PA, so there's going to be some chocolate happening. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, the last time I went to Hershey for like a conference or something, I actually got to stay at the Hershey Hotel.
Oh, that place is cool. I went inside it on a tour, but I've never stayed in it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And like even like the shampoo and soap was like infused with chocolate and everything. It was wild. I think they gave you like chocolate chapstick too and whatnot. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So looking forward to going back there again. But anyhow, are you recommending anything this week?
I haven't been really watching like much like religiously over the last week. So what I will say is I watched a little bit of Gargoyles on Disney Plus, and that's also I'll plug my other stuff here, but that's also where I wrote my Ears Gone By blog post on this past week.
Nice.
Gargoyles is an incredible animated show, and if you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. This is a 90s animated show that Disney did. It was on their Disney Afternoon block for a while, mm-hmm. which was the same block that had like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Tailspin and Gummy Bears and DuckTales and all that good stuff.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, but Gargoyles took it a little bit of a different direction. It took it a little bit of a darker tone with some more mature themes in it. And it followed on the heels of Batman the Animated Series, which kind of brought a lot of the same, heavier tones and heavier themes to animation, to kids' shows at that time. But Gargoyles did it really well, too. And it's an amazing show that only got three seasons. And for some reason, Disney seems very reluctant to ever revisit it. And I think that they could do really well with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm gonna go with gargoyles for my recommendation. I don't know if I've ever talked about gargoyles on the show before. I might have, but
I don't think you have. I know it's one that I've never watched. That, you know, maybe I need to check out.
Yeah. So the first five episodes is a 5-part series called The Awakening, and it starts with them in medieval Scotland, and they are cursed, sleep for 1,000 years, and then they wake up in New York and kind of get acclimated to New York and the landscape of who they're involved with and who's good guys and bad guys. Really cool stuff. So it kind of combines, you know, that old the Scottish kind of vibe with everything. You know, the medieval Scottish thing, but then there's also like Shakespearean themes in this. The anime, the characters, you know, are gargoyles. They're monsters. They're heroes, but they look, you know, more scary than your normal hero would look. And you know, it's a really cool take on the hero story. So
interesting. Yeah, I might have to give that a look. Thank you for that recommendation. Really, the only thing I've had a chance to watch this past weekend, Brittany and I got caught up a bit on American Rust. We were a little bit behind on Showtime, and that show continues to really impress me. I think it's very well done. It's a slow burn type of a show, but I've really been enjoying it in seeing parts of Pittsburgh and Western PA that part of the show, and everything is pretty neat too. So enjoying that. However, I'm going to give a non-recommendation. I don't know if we've ever done this or not, but
I don't think so.
I'm going to give something that I do not recommend. there was a new short on Disney Plus called Pearl. Have you watched this, Adam?
No.
Okay, so my wife, Brittany, brought this to my attention because, of course, our daughter's always on Disney Plus, and she pretty much has free reign on there. Yeah, it's Disney Plus. You can watch whatever you want. But I don't know about this one. Granted, it is rated PG for, I think, some type of rude humor and a little bit of language. I don't know how to describe this other than basically it's about like this bright colored, like pink ball of yarn that gets a job in an office full of males. So there's the typical male office behavior going on, and this ball of yarn doesn't feel like she belongs, and you know, they kind of bully her and stuff, and she feels like she needs to change herself and become like a man basically to fit in, and starts making these rude jokes along. One of the jokes was kind of funny actually. it was like, what's the difference between a porcupine and a BMW or something? And I think the what do you call it, the punchline. was like, porcupine only has pricks on the outside or something like that, which I thought was kind of funny. But some of the humor I felt would land with adults, but like would go over kids' heads. But then like all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere, this yarn character swears, like, you know, says ASS and like, you can kiss my ass. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what just happened? And so my daughter's watched it like 5 times and I'm like, you know, why? I don't know. So, you know, I don't understand Disney sometimes. They're all about, you know, pushing their morality and like, you know, inclusion and diversity and everything, which are good things. But you know, swearing, we're all right with that. It's no big deal. Or lewd humor is fine.
I gotta tell you, I looked this short up while you're talking, and Wikipedia says it was met with universal acclaim, Josh.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm in the minority.
from what you said, it doesn't sound like one I'm gonna go ahead and watch right after we're done recording here. So,
right.
I wouldn't put yourself alone in that.
I don't know. I mean, I could continue down a path with that I'm probably not going to continue down. But
yeah.
Yeah, it also has things to say, I think, about the male gender.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if you're supposed to laugh at all those jokes that you're...
I know. It's kind of funny, but what is this trying to say? Anyway, I don't recommend that. But now that I didn't recommend it, you're probably all going to watch it. But anyway, that leads us to our one question to rule them all. And looking at last week's question, we talked about movie versus film and what term do you find yourself using more often. And the results of our poll, and it was very close. Film came in at 48% of the vote and movie came in at 52% of the vote. Now, I went with film just because, like we talked on last week's show, that, you know, I use the term film a lot. Compared to movie, you probably went with movie.
I did.
And I was actually surprised at how close this was. I thought movie would have taken it easily, but apparently we have a lot of film fans out there who use that term. Mm-hmm. So, but this one did end up going to movie. So thank you guys for letting your voices be heard.
And I just want to read Chantal. We mentioned her last week. She's on the Scarif podcast, and she's also with Alan at Press Play Media now as well. Mm-hmm. But she replied and said, I say movie more as a general word. I reserve film for specific movies. All films are movies, but not all movies are films.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good response.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think my point of view was I felt like all movies could be called films, so... But it's okay to like slightly disagree and view things differently. And
no,
that's what our show's all about. And you know, speaking
I'm changing
of
it.
We're changing it.
Yeah. We've done this for 103 weeks, Josh.
Now it's time to just forget the points of view.
Now we're digging our heels in.
You're right or wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta give a big shout out, and I'm trying to think of who made that video for us on not for us necessarily, but He was doing a video
Nick,
on YouTube.
Backyard TARDIS. Yeah.
Recommending, he probably recommends lots of different podcasts, and he highlighted ours
recently.
He's
a huge fan of Red 5 Network. And
yeah, just, I was so, that brought me a lot of joy to,
absolutely.
To watch that video and just for him to encapsulate the meaning of our show in such a great way, that meant the world. And
is it better than we could have ever done it?
Yeah. So thank you so much.
Big thanks to Nick. Yeah, that was incredible. Blew me away.
Absolutely. But let's talk about this week's one question to rule them all.
Oh, you're waiting for this.
I am. So I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, Adam, but in the news we're going to talk about...
Yeah, that's okay.
...new Book of Boba Fett trailer that dropped today, actually. So I'm kind of glad we're...
There's a lot of stuff that comes out on Mondays.
Yeah, so...
I have now noticed that.
This is a good move. But the... Yeah, so what is your excitement level after watching the Book of Boba Fett trailer? I mean, are you like...
That's a great question, and I'm going to save that for the news segment.
Excellent. So that's going to be our question of the week, though. But let's move into our news segment.
Sold out. Every copy. Tomorrow morning, Spider-Man, page one, with a decent picture this time. Move Conway to page seven.
There's a problem with page
seven. I make it page eight and give him 10% off. Okay. I make it 5%.
That can't be done.
Get out of here!
Okay, so now that we got past that, what's your excitement level for Boba Fett, Book of Boba Fett, after seeing this? I mean, are you not at all interested, meh, excited, you know, more excited than you were, through the roof, you know?
A little bit of a mix of a couple of those. So, okay. It looks incredible. It has, you know, that same Mandalorian look and feel, which I mean, I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know, but it looks really good. I'm just at a point that I'm having a hard time getting excited about Star Wars lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's because of some of the things that have gone on outside of the shows themselves lately.
Yeah.
Which sucks, to be honest.
It does.
Because there's a lot of great Star Wars stuff that's coming right now that's been coming out. And I want to be more involved and excited in it, but it's still hard right now. And I absolutely going to watch this show, and I'm probably going to enjoy it, and I'm going to have a great time with it. I wish I was more excited, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, man, to be honest. You know, I was kind of like, okay, this looks cool, and I'll watch this, but I'm not that excited.
I'd rather have Mando Season 3 right now.
Me too. Like, yeah, bring that on. Like, that's where I'm at as well.
And maybe part of this is because I've never been a huge Boba Fett fan. You know what I mean?
Same. And there were a lot of different thoughts going through my head. Like, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are excited and, you know, especially even more excited after the
trailer. And rightfully so, because, I mean, it's a great trailer.
I'm not one of them, but I did have some things like going through my head as I was watching this. First of all, like that spider thing in the beginning looked really weird and just threw me off right off the bat. Like I don't know what that thing was. I don't know. It didn't look good to me.
That thing is up to no good, man.
Like, what is that? But I did like a lot of the shots we got. I thought it was really cool seeing the shot of that like spaceport or city or whatever that was that I'm guessing isn't probably Mos Eisley because it looks too, different, but it looks like, you know, this show seems to be about the underworld and, you know, and I'm wondering if this show has shades of the Boba Fett script that was originally written to be a movie, and they were going to do this whole like Mos Eisley like underground type show was in the works. So I don't know if this is completely original from, you know, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, or if it's like using some of that stuff that was written.
Yeah, I could see that. Even just elements of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was thrown off by the like him saying he's not a bounty hunter. And I get that he's in a different place now.
Is he though?
Because
wasn't he hunting down Mando?
Yeah. I mean, I was confused by that because I thought he was a bounty hunter, but maybe apparently not.
Maybe he took that throne and
just
stepped aside from that. I don't know.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then just, I guess my question started to become like this Boba Fett has a very much of a different feel than the Boba Fett of like the movies, you know, and which Boba Fett do I even prefer is becoming my question. And for all those people out there that love this iteration of Boba Fett, like that's fantastic. And I'm very happy for you. I don't know how I feel yet about this character, but I'm definitely going to watch this show and I'm going to let them, you know, change my mind.
And, you know, and I'm sure that we're going to watch this. I'm sure that we're going to love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know? Yeah. I'm sure it'll be great. Yeah.
I just wish that I could feel that level of Mando excitement for this that I felt 3 years ago
or whatever
that was.
So. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not quite there. I'm excited for Mando Season 3. Bring on Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, when those things come out, like, I'm going to be real pumped. But this is going to be like, okay, show me what you got, and maybe I'll love it.
Yeah.
Next up, we're going to talk about a clip that was released for Ghostbusters Afterlife. And this clip features Paul Rudd's character in the movie and a couple of the younger members of the cast, and they've got this the ghost trap set up, and they're trying to figure out like how to use it, how do we get this thing working, and oh man, did I everything I see from this movie now, I just love it, just delights me. It's got such a Ghostbusters feel to it that I'm looking for. You can even hear little notes and things from the original score, which I love that they're incorporating that and not shying away from it. You know, give me that nostalgia. I want it. And all I can say is I'm delighted every time I watch a clip for this movie, and I can't wait until November 19th when it comes out. So a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, agreed. Everything from this looks great. Looks like, you know, they're listening to the fans that want to see this type of movie, you know?
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see what the involvement is going to be with the old cast and, you know, what they're going to pull off with that. And I hope they use the old cast in a very fantastic way. And so I'm waiting to see what they do with that. Next up, we're going to talk about I feel like this movie is almost like a cult classic, but I don't know if you can call it that or not.
I don't know.
Hocus Pocus. And, you know, my wife watches this movie every single Halloween, and I know a lot of, particularly, and I don't want to stereotype here, but there's a lot of women in particular, I think, out there that love this movie around Halloween. It's definitely got quite a following. I mean, it doesn't have good reviews at all on Rotten Tomatoes from critics or anything, but people love this movie.
I think what this is this something that you had to watch as a kid.
As a kid, yeah.
I think it has to be nostalgia because my wife watched it as a kid. She loves this movie.
Yeah.
I have watched it, and I think I watched it as a kid maybe once. Okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything that I latched onto. It wasn't anything that I like loved as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so watching it as an adult, it's like, this isn't my thing. I think it's one of those things that you had to have nostalgia for.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I thought they were working on a Hocus Pocus 2. We got some more news on this today. So let's see. Tony Hale,
he is hilarious.
Yeah. Remind me of who Tony Hale is. What has he been in?
I know him mainly from Arrested Development.
Okay.
But he has been in a few different things. He's voiced a few characters, too, that you'd probably know.
His name sounds really familiar.
He was in one of the Toy Stories, but I forget exactly. Oh, he was Forky in Toy Story 4.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Absolutely hilarious, so...
So we have Tony Hale, Hannah Waddingham, and a handful of other actors. I feel like Hannah Waddingham is maybe in Ted Lasso, possibly. I could be wrong about that. But a handful of other characters have joined the cast. And they're going to, you know, we have Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy, I don't know how to say her last name, who are going to be reprising their roles from the first film. So it looks interesting, and I think it's going to be coming around Halloween next year.
Fall 2022, yep.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting for all you Hocus Pocus lovers out there, and I know there's a lot of them. Next up, we're going to talk about Dune again at the box office. So Dune also held the top spot over Halloween weekend, beating out Halloween, as it were. It didn't pull in a whole lot in its second domestic weekend, only 15.5 million, which is a drop of 62%, probably due to the availability of the movie on HBO Max. I'm guessing has a lot to do with it. But it has earned almost 70 million domestically so far and is nearing the $300 million mark worldwide. So, and it was successful enough to greenlight a sequel, which I'm very excited about. And I think ultimately Denis Villeneuve wants to possibly make it into a trilogy even, which we'll talk about a little bit later. That brings us to our last piece of news this week, and that is a teaser trailer for Lightyear was released earlier in the week. And I'm very excited about this.
Me too.
How are you feeling about it?
Me too. This is one that I wasn't very excited for when I first heard about it. Trailer sold me. Absolutely sold me.
It's a great trailer.
Yeah. I think this has a ton of potential. You know, I don't miss Tim Allen in this. I love Tim Allen. I love him in that role. But I view this as completely separate from Toy Story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a character that was introduced in Toy Story, but this is doing something kind of new with that character. And so having a different voice for him at that point, I think, is perfectly fitting, and I think it's needed. I'm totally on board with this. I think this could be a franchise starter, to be perfectly honest. And I have every confidence that I'm going to adore this film.
Yeah, it looks great. And, you know, I didn't know how to feel at first about Tim Allen not being in that role. But it's Chris Evans, right?
Yeah, Chris Evans.
And so I think he'll do a great job with it. And I agree, you bring up a good point about this kind of being a different type of story for this character. And I mean, am I right or am I wrong that this seems like it's going to be maybe even kind of an origin story for the Buzz, you know, the Lightyear character?
Yeah, well, so, yeah, and I think this is just kind of a tripping point for people because they did say, you know, this is the, you know, his beginnings or his origin mm-hmm. or something like that. I don't think that this is going to end up tying into Toy Story. You know, I don't think that at the end of this or, you know, at the end of whatever kind of arc they have planned for this, if there is any, yeah, I don't think you're going to see him in a cardboard spaceship. You know, I think that this is an origin story for this Buzz character. And then we'll get more of his stories going forward. And I don't think that they will intersect at all with the Toy Story movies.
I wonder if we're going to get like the evil Emperor Zurg.
I was wondering about that too, you know, and maybe
that would be a cool tie-in. Yeah.
It kind of feels like Star Trek-y to me.
It does
a little bit.
And
you know?
I love the music they used in this trailer too.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
So, you know, I think this is, you know, Buzz Lightyear is an adventure action hero. And I don't think that this is going to be any type of Toy Story tie-in. I don't think that this is going to be how he became a toy. I was seeing that on Twitter. I don't think this is going to be that at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Looks interesting, and I'm definitely excited for it.
Absolutely.
And
me too.
I think it makes sense to go this direction with the character. And what I really liked about this trailer reminded me of something I didn't like about the Boba Fett trailer earlier. And that is that, and they could include this, but there was no indication in the trailer that we were looking at how Boba Fett got out of the Sarlacc and all those kind of things leading up to his appearance in The Mandalorian. And it could still do that. Maybe they just didn't show any of that. Mm-hmm. But that's another thought that was going through my head. Like, are they gonna show any of that stuff that or is this just going forward for Boba Fett? You know, and I'm sorry to bring it back to that, but
that's fine.
It reminded me of, you know, that whole thing. But anyhow, that is it for the news today. And we're going to go into our main segment and review Dune. Okay, so Dune is now in theaters and on HBO Max. And, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of different things when it comes to this film. I really wanted to look at some our overall thoughts, look at the theater versus the home experience, the book versus the film, you know, there's a lot to kind of talk about.
I've never read the book.
Yeah, I know. I'll do most of the talking when it comes to that.
Yay.
But first of all, Adam, I wanted to get your overall thoughts about Dune. Being a non-reader of the book, I felt going into this that might be a tough watch for somebody who hasn't read the book, but I could be wrong. You know, just what was your experience?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like anything that I'm going to say after this doesn't mean that I didn't like it. I had a hard time watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very involved as far as plot goes, and there's a lot of detail in there, and I feel like if you miss something in the first half hour that problem just compounds as the film goes along. Mm-hmm. And I need to watch this more than once for sure. While I liked it, and I think that this could be a pretty successful, you know, series here, or how whatever they're going to do. I know you mentioned possible trilogy. Last week we talked about they didn't green light 2 yet, but they did green light 2 like the day after we recorded.
Yeah.
But so at least two parts here. I feel like this could be a successful series. But this first entry for me, not really knowing what was happening, it was rough. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, I was watching it with a couple of our other friends and just thinking, oh man, I wonder what they're thinking of this because they haven't read the book and this is probably pretty hard to follow.
Did you read the book?
Yes.
Okay.
I read the first half of it.
Okay, I remember. So, okay, I remember saying that now.
Yeah. My overall thoughts about it were, I thought it was, I really enjoyed it as a book reader. I would say in the first hour, it took a little bit for it to get going, and mm-hmm. There were some parts that were a little bit slow, but I know that Denis Villeneuve was trying to establish this world and build the world and develop the characters, and that stuff takes time when you're talking about the scale of this story and what he plans to do in the future. But once it took a little bit for it to get going, even for me who read the book. And then once it did, though, I really enjoyed, you know, everything else in the back half. I felt like it was a pretty faithful adaptation.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I felt that overall it was epic. The scale of it was impressive.
Absolutely.
The visuals, the sound, the score, you know, we'll talk about all those things a little bit more, but I thought it was a real cinematic experience. I could see how, again, people who didn't read it or don't know the story might struggle. But let's talk a little bit about the theater versus home experience, because, you know, I watched like the first half hour at home and I was like, I wasn't too impressed. I was like, oh, this doesn't feel that epic or anything or that impressive. And then I saw it in the theater and I was like, wow, this makes a big difference. This is truly one of those movies that I think needs to be seen in the cinema to get that full experience that this movie can offer. You know, just the surround sound and the bass that's produced, and it creates this atmosphere, and this experience really pulls you in, and just the epic scale of even like the sandworms and, you know, everything. It really drives that scale home in a big way. So I do think this is a movie that should be seen in the theater despite the availability of it at home.
I would agree with you for this reason, because I actually like I tried to make it as theatrical as I could at home, you know, and I had mm-hmm. I have a decent surround system with a huge subwoofer, so I mean I had my house shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
Where I think I would have benefited from watching it in the theater is that at home, I feel like this movie let my mind wander too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, it does start off slow. And then even for the second half of it, there were parts where I was getting a little bored.
Uh-huh.
When I'm in a theater, I'm more apt to pay attention, you know, even when things are dragging a little bit. When I'm at home, that's not the case. So I agree with you that I think that it would have been a better experience in a theater, but I think that for me at least that was why.
Yeah, and you know, there could be various reasons for that. You know.
Yeah.
I will say though, watching it at home, I'm watching it a second time at home and everything, and I am picking up on more of the dialogue.
I'm actually going to watch it with subtitles on next time I watch.
Yeah, because it was hard in the theater, and for you even hard at home, it sounds like, for some of the dialogue and everything and picking up on all that.
There's a lot of things happening. You know, there's factions, there's people, you know, there's groups of people, like names, and those things you kind of have to really pick up on.
And the book is even more dense than the movie is, you know?
I've seen that book, and that's why I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I'm going to talk a little bit about the book versus the film. I did say that I do think this is a pretty faithful adaptation. Certainly, there are things in the book that are missing from the film, which is to be expected. But as a reader of the book, I was very impressed by the translation to the screen. I thought it was nearly perfect. What they did translate from book to screen was nearly perfect, just in terms of transferring it, you know, from one medium to another. There were some things I felt like.
I think that's a great point. Before you go on, I think that's a great point. Yeah, as we're talking about films that are adapted from books, you have to remember that it can never be a one-to-one translation.
Right.
you know, thinking about like Harry Potter and stuff like that is probably the most well-known example. I personally, as an avid reader and as a lover of those books, I think that those films were as perfect as you could get for yeah. film adaptations, because you can't have things the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work. Two different mediums, you can do things in a novel that you can't do on screen, and vice versa. So I think that that's very important to remember when we're talking about a movie like this, you know, like Dune, that does have a pretty, you know, religious fan base
mm-hmm.
there as far as mm-hmm. the novels go. That, you know, and I haven't read the book, but from what I've heard and what you are saying, you can't expect too much from what you know of reading this book to make it to the screen, and you have to expect some changes because, you know, things have to work differently on screen. So I think that's a great point that you made there.
Thanks. And I do think that readers of the book should be pretty happy with what this team was able to do and put on the screen. I can't imagine anybody translating it better, because it's a hard book to put on the screen, I think. And even at times when I was like kind of bored and like, oh, this is kind of dragging a little bit, I had to remember that this is a story that's coming from a book. You know, it's not coming from the story isn't coming from the filmmaker. The story is coming from the novel. So I had to keep that in mind too, that he's just doing a really nice job of actually telling this story. Looking at, like the characters, the cast, the performances, did you have any thoughts about that? Because this was a pretty star-studded cast.
Yeah, it was. Like you said, a star-studded cast. I think it was great. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes with a cast like that, you can get kind of lost in who's who, you know?
Yeah.
You know, with some pretty big names in there. And you'll have to help me with the main. Is it just Timothy? Because he has two E's at the end, so I don't know if there's anything fancy that I have to do there.
I think it's Timothy Chalamet or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
He plays Paul Atreides.
All right, nice. And I know that he's done other stuff, but mm-hmm. this is my first exposure to him, and yeah. I thought that he was really good.
I agree.
Is it Stellan Skarsgård that played the...
yeah. He played the Baron, yeah.
One kind of odd scene there for me, but past, you know, kind of the nude scene. I thought that was a very chilling and scary, even
scary
character.
Dude.
You know, the way he kind of uses this little anti-grav floaty thing is kind of terrifying. to be honest. and you know, just his voice, just the way he can do that particular thing, I think that was pretty incredible. So as far as the cast goes, I think it was great.
Yeah, the standout characters to me were definitely Paul Atreides, you know, played by Timothy Chalamet, and Duke Leto, played by Poe Dameron.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac. And, yep. you know, I really love that character. I love the relationship. I also really like the relationship between, now I'm trying to think of names myself here.
Is it Duncan?
Duncan Idaho and Paul Atreides and their relationship I really believed in. And it really, and I guess I'll throw up a spoiler warning right now. You know, his that character's death, I really felt that, and I was upset about it, and I you know, it was tough to watch because of the character's connection and everything. When it comes to, let's see, man, my mind is going blank right
now. I'll be honest, I don't know that I've seen a clean-shaven Jason Momoa.
Yeah, Jason Momoa looked a little weird with no facial hair. I will say that. But another, you know, Josh Brolin, his character, Gurney.
Yeah.
I like the character, but his performance didn't really stand out to me too much.
No,
I'll say that.
Same with Dave Bautista.
Yeah, Dave Bautista's character didn't have a whole lot to do.
I feel like there was a lot there that didn't get explored yet.
Yeah, because this is just part one.
Mm-hmm. But he was another one that I just felt like was just kind of there for his face.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll see if he has a bigger role to play in the next part, for sure.
Yeah, I'll probably talk about this later, but like I feel like for audiences going to this before they announced part two was greenlit, I feel like it would have been good to have already greenlit at least part two.
Yeah,
like a while ago, you know, so that as they're marketing this, they can say, and I know that they put part one at the beginning of the movie, but I don't know that in the marketing, did it say part one anywhere?
No,
because I know that there was some confusion around that.
I feel like it was intentional. I really do. I feel like they were trying to get people to go to the theater to see this movie. And just kind of holding back that information. They had to have had part two planned before
you
this
would think.
Because they already have a release date. It's only 2 years out. They had to have been working on it already.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was just a way to be like, oh, we don't know if we're going to do a part two. Well,
and Villeneuve
was
kind of...
You guys better show up to the movie theater so we make enough money to do it.
I hate that. I hate
you
that.
Know?
Game developers do that with, like, games. Like, if you want this, you go to buy this one for us to even think about it. Like,
right. Like, so I think it might have been one of those situations.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that might have been advantageous, you know, for people seeing that this is going to be... you know, kind of this bigger epic type deal, you know?
Yeah, for me, like, I knew that was the case. You know, I knew there was another part that was going to be coming. I knew this was going to end in a place that wasn't exactly satisfying completely. But before we get to the ending, what did you think of the Hans Zimmer's score? Did
I liked
you notice it?
Yeah, I did notice. I mean, it's kind of hard to not notice.
Sometimes. Yeah, in this film,
it literally screams at you. Like,
yeah, it does.
but it was good, and I don't know whether to call it score, but you know, some of the just sound elements.
The sound elements, yeah, coming, yeah,
were probably even more noticeable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the score, it's not one that I have stuck in my head, okay?
No.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to get that stuck in my head, to be honest.
No. I know what you mean, but
like when I walked out of Wonder Woman, you know. like I had Wonder Woman stuck in my head, that mm-hmm. that the guitar thing. Like, it doesn't stick with me like that, but I think what it did was effective.
Yeah, it was effective. It really created this atmosphere. It was really very haunting at times, and you know, kind of moody or brooding, whatever word you want to use for that. I thought it really created quite an atmosphere. But yeah, I thought it was great. And Hans Zimmer just continues to impress. I mean, he goes from, you know, No Time to Die to this. He's just, I think, in my opinion, he's the best in the business right now. And he can create different sounds for different films. You know, I'm not always like, oh yeah, that's definitely Hans Zimmer. I think he can differentiate, but also there's some overlap sometimes, but I think he's great. And let's talk a little bit about the ending. Being a non-reader of the book and mentioning what you did just a few minutes ago about giving the audience maybe a heads up, what did you think of the way this film ended?
I mean, I was kind of expecting something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because I did know that this was part one going into it. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I think it's good that at the title screen that it does say part one. You know, because if you're sitting down and didn't know that, then, you know, you would know
mm-hmm.
it.
mm-hmm.
So, but I was kind of expecting not much of a resolution, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I was starting to wonder towards the end, okay, how are they going to end this? Where are they going to end this? And then, you know, he kind of has to face that test where he has to, fight this member of the Fremen. And I think it's a really a transformative scene where he really starts to hone in on his abilities and who he's going to be going forward. And so I think it was a really good place to end it, actually. It really made sense to me to end it there. And, you know, even Zendaya's character saying, you know, this is just the beginning or whatever she said, you know, I that was a good place for me to end it. So I didn't personally have any problem with the ending. And, you know, I thought it made sense. It almost felt like the end of Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, their journey's going to continue. Mm-hmm. I kind of skipped over the story in action and stuff like that. You said the story at times was hard to follow. There's a lot going on here in the plot.
There is, yeah.
It's a lot to follow. I mean, there's environmental aspects of this film with the planet itself, the thinking about the spice that is on the planet, thinking about just the value of water on this world and how that plays into the story. There's political aspects of it with the emperor and the emperor kind of giving this planet to the Atreides family, giving them Arrakis, basically in an effort to basically take them down. So when is a gift not a gift? You know, like that quote at the beginning of the film was very telling. There's the political aspects, there's the environmental aspects, there's this whole thing going on with Paul's character where he's kind of this chosen one. I mean, you know, being the son of a Bene Gesserit individual like his mother and being trained is almost similar to like the Force in a way. I mean, you know, I'm wondering if George Lucas was inspired by the Voice being kind of like the Jedi mind trick in Star Wars.
I think that there's more than one thing that he was probably inspired by there.
Yeah, the whole Emperor thing and all that stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of moving parts and it could definitely be hard to follow, but I think it's great storytelling once you understand what the story is and everything. Yeah. You know? So I guess if you were to give this film a score, what would it be?
I don't even know where to go. Because I've only watched it once. And after one viewing, I'm probably like in the 7.5 range.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like it because I do like it. Like I said, this is an epic mm-hmm. film. I think this has huge potential as a series or a franchise. This first movie was really hard for me to get into. And, you know, like I said, I probably could have done better at a theater. I'll need to watch it a second time for sure, which can probably help that score. Initially, it's probably like a 7.5, and it's a good 7.5. It's not like I'm disappointed in it type of thing, you know. Where if I had gone to like a Star Wars movie and rated it a 7.5, you know, that's probably going to be on the disappointing end. You know, that's probably going to mean I'm not. So I don't want to make the 7.5 here sound like it's a disappointment because I actually really did like it. It's just there were some things that I had trouble with.
Sure, I can totally understand that, you know, and I was really curious about what you would think of it, given that you didn't read it, and it's a lot to take in.
I'll be honest with you, I was expecting a disappointment here, and I don't think I was disappointed. I want to really like this. The stuff that I saw, I like, and I want to get into this, so it's not like it drove me away. It's not like I wasn't interested. It's just I need to do some homework with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those that requires homework. For me, I think of it in two different ways, as like a standalone movie or film, you know, on its own. It's probably maybe like an 8, just because of, you know, the story doesn't really get going and there's some things that are hard to follow. But as an adaptation of the book, and my enjoyment being somebody who, you know, has read half of the book and everything, like, and just the achievement and what they were able to accomplish, like, I'm on that end of it, I'm more at like a 9 or 9.5. So I kind of look at it in two different ways.
And I don't think you're far off there, because everyone that I've talked to that has read the book is on the same page as you there. Yeah. I mean, it seems to be, it seems to be that the background knowledge really helps in this movie.
Yeah.
And I just don't have that, so I'll just have to watch it again and, you know, maybe read the book if I have some time, so.
Yeah, you'll need some
time. I'm getting a brand new hardcover copy of Lord of the Rings tomorrow, so I don't know if I'll have a lot of time.
But, yeah, it might be tough to squeeze that in. But I do want to talk a little bit about the future of Dune as we know it. You know, I've mentioned that this film only told one half of the first book. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely getting a part two. And Denis Villeneuve in interviews has said really part one was just about setting up this world and establishing these characters and getting things going. But part two is really where the meat of the story is and where things really pick up. And there's actually another book. I think it's Dune Messiah. And his vision, he would like that to be the third part of a trilogy to tell that whole story. That is his intention. So we'll see if that happens. So I think if you're even just a little bit interested in the first part, or you enjoyed it for whatever reason, whether any of the things we talked about, I think it's worth sticking around and doing a little homework if you're willing to, and, you know, giving it a couple views and a read if you're able to. And I think there's a future ahead for this franchise.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, like I said earlier, I think that there's a lot of potential here. And I am going to go back and revisit this. Like I said, I want to get into this. I think this is one of those, you know, Lord of the Rings type things that I think I can get into. And I think, I think this could be the start of a good trilogy, you know. And I want to like it like that, so.
Yeah, so I would say overall, I was very happy with what I got. You know, I was very excited when reading this book to see the movie, and I think they nailed it pretty much. It takes a little bit to get into, but after that, like I said, I really enjoyed it. I'm very happy with it and looking forward to watching it over and over and ready for part two in a couple years.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 103 of From a Certain Point of View. We hope you enjoyed our Dune review. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you do that and leave us a review while you're at it if you're on an app like Apple Podcasts, because that helps us get out to more and more people, help more people find out what we're doing here and you know, find the show and join the community. We are continuing our Discord watch parties. Last week I said that we were going to watch Stranger Things. I lied. We decided to watch Muppets Haunted Mansion instead because it was against Halloween there. So we had a blast watching Muppets Haunted Mansion. And this week we're going to get back to Stranger Things. And I promise I'm not going to lie this week. Check out the website, which has changed. This is a new address, like I said last week. This is it's now facpovpodcast.wordpress.com, and there you'll find all of our show notes, and you know, the blog posts that we've written in the past are still there. So check out the new version of the website. Also check out our socials, which are Instagram and Twitter. Both of those are at CertainPOVPod. And by the way, we turned over 1,200 followers on Twitter yesterday. So awesome. Thank you to everyone following us on Twitter. And, you know, if you're following us, and share it to someone that isn't following so that they can join in on the fun too. Which is pretty cool because I haven't really been doing a whole lot on Twitter lately. So, our Facebook page is From a Certain Point of Views. Join us there. You can also actually listen to the show on Facebook now. I put our RSS feed in there and linked it to Facebook. And now if you follow the podcast, you get notifications about new shows and you can listen directly on Facebook now as well. Share clips and everything. So pretty cool.
Before we move forward, I just want to give you a big shout out, Adam, for all the stuff you do behind the scenes with the social media and with you know, the editing of the audio and everything. You know, you just do a fantastic job, and the new website included. So thank you for all your work on
this. I appreciate
things.
It. Thank you. And actually, I'm pretty happy with how the website turned out this time around. So
yeah, it looks real good.
Looks pretty good, yeah. So yeah, thanks, Josh, for that. And if you'd like to email us, you can find us at certainpovpod@gmail.com. And if you want to send us a voicemail, you can give your Dune review, and we'll play that on the show next week. Dial 724-901-1783. Remember, we are part of the Red 5 Network, and if you want to find all of the awesome Red 5 Network shows, you can visit red5network.com or on Twitter at Red 5 Network. You can find me on the internet at TheGauze85 on Twitter, and also on my Disney blog, which I mentioned earlier, which is earsgoneby.blog. And actually, I think I'm going to talk about Buzz Lightyear this week on the blog. Josh, where can I find you?
Well, first of all, I'm definitely looking forward to reading that about Buzz Lightyear. But you can find me on Twitter at JediJarJar1722. Thank you once again for joining us and listening. And we, again, like Adam said, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts on our question of the week this week and your thoughts on Dune. So reach out to us in one way or another, and we would love to give your thoughts on the show. And just remember that until next time, everything we said today was true.
From a certain point of view.